this hearing, are there testimony witnesses?
Yes.
Roger.
Roger.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to call this meeting into order. This is Joe Sagehason, membership committee meeting here at the Joe Sagehason Chambers, July 19, 2016. The time is 3:33 p.m. And the first thing on the agenda is a pro call.
John Maker.
Here.
Maria Whitemore.
Here.
Archie Mason.
Present.
Next thing we have for...
Speak to Mason.
Mighty Father God, we come towards the end of our workday. Thank you, Father God, for your guidance given to us this day. I ask that you be with us during this, this meeting and the gathering of our peoples here as we continue on with the business at hand. Be with us, Almighty Father, and the conditions and circumstances that are coming to this table, some of which we don't know. So we're asking you to be with us in our hearts and our minds and the words that we say. Put us in the right direction, Almighty Father, for the betterment and goodness, fairness and justice for all those things. Amen. Amen.
Next thing is approval of minutes, if I don't think there are.
Yes, Mr. Patterson's here too. He can see here on the project.
And I think what we've been doing about these minutes,
There's Clint.
Come on, that's yours.
Thank you.
We just had some prayer and we're going to look at the minutes now.
I move that the chairman approve the minutes of May 25th at his discretion due to the change of committees.
Second.
There's been a motion and seconded by Mr. Mason to approve minutes, that I may approve minutes, because we have changed personnel on the committee. So these minutes are hereby approved. Next thing on our agenda here, I'd like to say something just real quick before we ask Mrs. Oakley to give us an update. We all know this member, this committee is a new form committee, and we're just kind of getting it put together. We want to get some sort of structure sometime, and this will be pretty simple because there's only three of us. So the less complicated it is. So anyway, we will work on that as we go along, but we'll just continue to operate just like any other committees do. And we're not going to have a budget that I know of, so that's less complications there. And right now, so we need to be knowing everything there is to know about this membership, because we get constituents calling us all the time, questions, what do I do? Every time I was on the campaign trail, there's a lot of people in California and everywhere wanting to know how to, get the membership card and everything about it. So it's going to be a lot of a learning process for me here. And I know there's a lot going on over there. I went over and talked to Mrs. over the other day. I meant to stop for 5 minutes. It's taking about an hour. Just hearing all the kinds of things that goes on over there. So I know there's a lot to do. So let's go ahead and get started. Number five on the agenda is a little update from Mrs. Oberlin. So go ahead and hold the chair.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I look forward to working with you all on this committee, and hopefully we can get our roles down, what parts each of us will play. I sent, after speaking to Congressman Maker, and I did it very quickly because I was doing that yesterday evening.
Right.
And I tried to send out a step-by-step to make a membership card, which I sent to you all. That's a draft. I didn't get a lot of time to work on it because what I had was CDIB and membership, and since you just wanted membership, I had to pull everything piece by piece, so it, if it doesn't make sense, I will, you know, keep working on it. The only thing new that I would just like to say is we're working with IT and with Addie, run a course of, to get this watermark put on our membership cards. Mm-hmm. It didn't dawn on me, I didn't realize that it's very easy to copy the cards that we have. And it'll have the chief's electronic signature. This is just, but it's transparency over like five layers, so it would be very hard for anyone, I mean, they can still do it if they want to, you know, to copy it. Mm-hmm. But it's going to make it a lot harder than it was without the watermark on there. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of excited. We haven't started it yet, but there's still a few more kinks IT needs to work out. But kind of excited about that. Right. So.
How about the other style of membership with the photo ID?
That's being done by the tax commission.
What is the difference in validity of the two cards? I mean, I know the one, which one is accepted here, the one without the photo, and then
the membership card is if you apply for any services that the Osage Nation offers, mm-hmm. not IHS or anything like that, but anything specific to the Osage Nation, whether it's scholarships, TANF, general assistance, anything like that, you have to have this card. This card right here, yes. That's the membership card. Now what the TAG Commission has done is an ID card,
okay.
with the photo on it and the information. And you can get on a plane with that. And it's really good for those that don't even have a driver's license or can't get one. They can get a tribal ID card and get on a plane with it. Use it as a valid ID.
And it doesn't have the same membership number?
No. No. It, I'm not sure what.
I think mine has the same. I checked that out last time. I was asking about it.
I had one. So.
Do I have this one here?
May I look at it?
No.
I haven't gotten it. It's got the thing here from the new one. It's got the thing from the new one. Just see you have that one.
So is that your membership number?
It's not that O-N-O-K.
The last four or the last
7139.
His last four are the same number.
Yeah, mine be matched.
Well, then they do. I mean, that would be, I didn't realize they, yep, mine is too. So.
And you have to have a membership card to get an ID. So I don't see why you couldn't at some point merge into just having a photo ID.
On the membership card, you mean?
And
having a photo.
That would be the membership card. You send over something from your office, or maybe equipment in your office. I don't know.
I agree, it's duplicative.
It is.
And that's, the ID is accepted in more places.
The only problem with that ID is for our members that live on the outside of the reservation area that wouldn't have the ability to come in and take a photo ID, because can people apply by correspondence for membership?
I mean, like any passports. I mean, we could have them fill out a form, have it notarized, send us a passport. I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking, I don't know why that couldn't, but there may be a reason. I don't know. Maybe you have to send me a form, you know.
Well, my question is to that would be the people on, I think to get a valid ID, you have to be present, don't you?
I mean,
a membership, not so much.
Not too much, right.
But this is an ID used for all purposes, right. That you could use any other form of government-issued ID. You can get on airplanes with that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Something to think about.
It is.
It's something I don't know.
So you can do the membership card process that you issue entirely through the app.
And see, at one point, we did have, which I thought was kind of crazy, but we did do employee badges in the membership department.
That's where I heard mine.
No, I was like, I think that should be in the HR, because they were sending them downtown to get the UA test, then sending them over to the basement to get their badge, and sending them, you know, next door. It was crazy.
So now we have three different places issuing forms of identification for
an employee badge,
employees, a regular government issued ID, and then a membership card.
Okay.
Okay.
So I
understand.
Okay, well, what led us into that direction, but you go ahead with your...
Other than that, I didn't know if you had any questions for me.
How many members do we have?
We have a total of 20,177 as of today.
May I ask a question about that, Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I know the BIA does a really poor job at monitoring or having the capabilities to have a notification when an Osage member wants their maker. Do we have a process for that?
I have asked Ubi Winlock in probate, and I said, please, would you mind sending us a copy? You don't have to have the original death certificate, but when you're doing probate for, of course, it would be a shareholder that has passed away. And then I have asked constituent services at their burial department if they could also send me something each month, each quarter. It's just because I don't, unless it's in the Osage News, or I just know of a funeral, or I've been to the funeral, and then I go in and I pull up the obituary, I change it. I would like to get something a little bit more streamlined, because I don't get the notification. I mean, I had a call the other day, and this lady called, and she's like, you know, my dad died 2 years ago, you want to quit sending the newspaper? I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't, you know.
She wanted to tell me what
to do. So, I would like to have something more workable, more dependable, how we can track those Osage's members that have passed away.
How about an elder or somebody who at some point gets a legal guardian and they can't go ahead and do their own business and you have to send them stuff or...
We've had that. And they can bring the legal guardian or the person can bring it in and say, this, my niece or my granddaughter or whatever is my legal guardian now. And we make copies of that, we put it in our file. And so anytime the legal guardian needs, we've lost her membership or we need a copy of her birth certificate or whatever, I can release it to the legal guardian.
Hey, Will, may I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I'm just thinking of questions now. If somebody has a legal guardian, and it's time for election, they need to cast a vote or share something. What is the legality in that? Mark and say, I'll vote for John Linker. I mean,
that probably goes all right.
I've never seen where the guardianship would transfer the right to vote. I don't think that.
Just a question.
That's a good question. I don't know. I would have to research that. I've never seen a guardianship that has said that you give me the right to vote for you, but you are acting for that person. So that would be something I have to look into. Really.
I guess maybe election office would.
The election office, I think, at one time, if they had it, they would allow. Now, don't quote me on this, but they would allow them to go in the voting booth with with the elder or with, you know, to help them, but the elder saw him sign her name or his name, but I don't know, that could change, I don't know. But that was at the very, very beginning. But, anyway, I don't know if you want it broken down, but I did break it down because a lot of times the 18 and older, there's 14,765, which I know we just had the election, so that may not be as important as, you know, it will be.
What's that number?
14,765 Osages that are 18 and older. Just in the last fiscal year, from October 1 of last year to present, we have added 636 members.
What was the time?
That was from October, October 1st, 2015, till, yeah. So, yeah. We do about 1,000 a year. I've looked back the past 3 years, and so it runs about 1,000 new members each year.
How does that compare to other tribes?
It's so funny because I just talked to the, I think it was one of the other tribes, but they're a smaller tribe. And because they were telling me that they did membership, CDIB, burial assistance, elections, and everything else, and I was like, oh my goodness. And he was like, well, we're a lot smaller than you all are. He said, we may do 50 a year. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's why you do everything.
Okay.
But the Cherokees, I'm sure, do, you know, 3,000, 4,000 a year. So it just, maybe a lot.
So, Ms. Everly, can you kind of give me a guess on that 636 that we've done from FY15 to present? A look at that number and see what are like new births and what are just people with the light bulb going on in their head and saying, oh, I'm 32 and I should get my SH membership card.
I'm 18 if you get a scholarship. So that's just, if you just ask me right off the top of my head, it's the newborns or it's those who are like, I didn't know Osages gave scholarships. Well, Mom, Dad, aren't we Osages? And so, that seems just off the top of my head.
That's two categories numbers on that. Okay, thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
And that in a month, you say we have so many that pass the requirements. How many usually is average that do not? Just kind of a ballpark, like saying.
I would say maybe 10 a month. That are just calling out of the blue, and they really don't, you know, their great-great uncle said that their great-great-grandma might have been Osage, but they don't really have anything I can check back. So we get maybe 10 a month of those that are just fishing, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like, I might be. Can you check?
Grandma said we were part of Osage.
And the only bad thing about it, sometimes that takes a long time because we do you know, try to help them and do what little research we can. But sometimes, you know, it's the proof is on them. They need to prove their age. We'll help them, but that's kind of.
Is it true that someone from Japan was trying to?
I heard that was before I got there.
Oh.
Selena, why you might know that?
Who?
From Japan?
So a Japanese person was trying to.
Not when I went there. There's people from France and the Netherlands, but or New Zealand. Not Japan.
Yes.
Have we messed up your presentation? Because I have some
no.
questions that are just kind of really random.
Well, go ahead.
For lack of better terminology, I don't know what it's called, but how does the member management system work for your department? Are we up and going?
We are up and going,
and
we are. Finally able, after 8 months, the BIA has given the go-ahead that I can start back doing CDIBs.
Okay.
So we are behind on those, but not that far behind. because I've got two full-time doing nothing but CDIBs. And because of the things that have been happening that you'll be talking to Clint about later, I made the decision that in starting June 15th, that if you want a membership card, get a CDIB card first. And they've always implied that, but it was never written, never come right out and said that. And I was like, that way we research it, then we send it to the BIA, they research it, then they send it back. So it just gives us another layer of protection so I don't have to go through what we've going through now. And it's just, it's not that much of a wait for membership. And I know that in the past, people in the office, you know, they were so scared of getting behind on membership because they were a little behind on CDIBs. But I think we can get to a place where we're not behind on either. And so that just gives us a layer of protection because not only have we eyed it and done the research, the BIA's done the research, and then when they give it back to us, then the membership tech will also do the research again, you know, just to eyeball it. So hopefully we won't ever have to go through what we've had to go through.
So is there a point in law that requires them to have a CDIB before they can have a tribal membership card? Like if somebody just flat refused to get a CDIB card, would you go ahead and issue the tribal membership to them?
I probably would, but that makes me leery because then I'm thinking, why don't you want to get a CDIB card? It's kind of a red flag, like, well, there's something in your family history maybe that you're wanting to, I don't know.
No, I was always under the understanding that I always thought that you had to have a CDIB card to get a membership card, but then upon more discussion, it's going, no, we aren't dependent on the federal government to issue their pedigree for us to have our tribal members. So
right.
I think
that's... And it's been kind of... not really, kind of, yeah, kind of, it's, and I checked with the 5 civilized tribes before I even made a decision, and every one of them says you have to have a CDIB before you can become a citizen of their nation. So I thought, well, it's not, there's a reason why a lot of tribes are going back to doing it that way. I mean, we've haven't started it yet, but it's just another layer, like I said, another layer of protection for our office. And that way I don't have to send any more to Clint saying, oh, I found this and I don't think they're Osage.
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I just want to look at it from Osage law standpoint of view. And I don't believe there's anything in our law that requires a person wanting to be admitted as a tribal member to have a CDIB card.
The only thing is,
Mr. Patterson, are you aware if there's any?
No, Congresswoman, I've never seen anything that requires a CDIB.
I mean, it makes sense. I'm not fussing about the, but if we want to do that, and I don't know if it can be a policy issue. I don't really feel like that's a policy issue, but that's just Maria's opinion, and I have a lot of them. So I'm just curious if we would need to try to amend the law to make that be a requirement.
In the Constitution, it does say to become an Osage member, you have to be a lineal descendant of someone on the 1906 roll. Well, to get a CDIB, same thing. You have to be a lineal descendant of someone on the 1906 roll. So basically the same thing that you would apply for membership, the documentation is the exact same thing I would need for CDIB. That's why a lot of people apply for them together, because it's, you know, the same,
right. Makes
same
sense.
Document.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'm just curious about making that be a requirement of tribal membership. Does it need to be a law, or what do you think?
I like to say something real quick about that. But, you know, a lot of people, last time we had a meeting here discussing the differences in the membership card,
and the CDIB card. Some people I noticed didn't even know what the CDIB card was. They go, why do you have to have two of them? Well, those letters represent certificate, degree of Indian blood. So there's a blood quantum on your CDIB card where on your membership card there is not.
Right.
But then like the BIA, they have to have the blood quantum thing for legal reasons, for inheriting head right money in particular. I think there was a law created where you had to be actual Osage to inherit and be able to prove it.
Yeah.
To inherit the head right interest.
And we do have some that will inherit, but they've never gotten a CDIB, and then they, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we try to rush that through for them because, you know, and a lot of them, there's still a misconception too on that that green card. Remember when they had that the second, was this been back in the 80s? So a lot of people was like, no, I have it. Here it is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that was, you know, that's not a membership card. Right. So a lot of people still have the misconception. They think they're members because they have that green card, and, you know, like, no. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. My wife is a Muskogee Creek, and they don't have a CDIB. It's all membership because they really sever their ties with BIA.
And
they have their own office, and, you know, you got to clear their office to be a Creek down there. And it's pretty stringent stuff before you get, I mean, it's not easy to get a Creek Nation membership card.
And I'm used to the CDIB stuff and everything, but you know, we are the only demographic of people in the United States that have to have a certificate with the federal government's approval showing what portion of blood we are to be able to prove that we belong to a tribe, that we're tribal members. I take exception to that somewhat. So, you know, I think there's, I understand that. I don't think that it's a bad idea, sure, but I just would like to really know how it fits in our laws.
Do you want to? Somewhere, I think, you know, it's a card, it's a piece of paper, it's a laminated something. Mm-hmm. Your Indianness, your Osageness is there if you have it. If you have that bloodline,
then you are. Before these membership cards, before the new government, that's all that you had to have. That's all you had to prove for your Osage. You know, there was no other membership card.
And before that, they were registering, making their surveys. They being the white folks and the government and everything.
Census
numbers. Yes. They were taking down numbers just like they did in ancient Rome. They took their census there too. And Mary and Joseph go and they had to sign in too. We ain't getting a CDIB down there, man. Bethlehem. So I don't know. Oh, Jesus.
He didn't need one though. So the membership software that we use works well for your department. You keep the master. Because I've been here, so I'm going on my fifth year, and when I stepped into it, that thing was a mess, and it seemed to be very problematic during this last election cycle. And I'm just wondering, from my understanding, education kicked it off, wanting some type of a member management system just so they could keep the information on their scholars. Then when they kicked that off, then they decided, oh, well, the election office really needs to use that too, and so does membership. And then they decided, well, we need to tie it in so each department can tap into it and see what services and resources our members are using in the tribe. And I'm not completely sure if this system is working for us. And mainly, most of all, you're the most important department that it should work for.
I have said from the very beginning, working with this program is like trying to get around in a square peg. Because every time I try it, you know, oh, it can't do that. Well, if you throw enough money to it,
somebody from outside comes in and they'll make it the way I need it to be made. And I kept saying, but there's already programs out there, software out there made for Native American tribes. Why? And then my very first time going to training in Las Vegas, the guy came up to me afterwards, he was laughing because I, you know, we have to introduce ourselves. He said, I know exactly where Pahuska, Oklahoma is, where the Osage. I said, you do? And he said, yes. He said, my company created a software program for your membership department. He said, we were down there. And he said, y'all are a little different. I was like, yeah, that's true. He said, it was custom designed for your department. He said, I was really surprised, because I'm sure it cost us a bit too. He said, after 4 or 5 years, that you don't use that anymore. I said, I just came to work there, so I didn't know. And so I was like, you mean we had something custom? So you remember the team, it was custom made for us, and then...
And then they wanted to have, if you don't mind, they wanted to have a program that the education and the election office could tap into. We got it first. We were the pilot department for it. And then the education, and then the election office.
So what happened to that program?
That's what they still use. The program that we used to have, they got rid of it because they wanted the education.
Because it could expand into...
Because it was custom made just for membership.
So we lost that. And I heard from you all when I got there that it was so much better than what we're having to use now.
And then there's even programs that are better that they need, that the other tribes that do CDIB cards use, because of the extensive...
Like progeny, different... Yes.
Yeah, the extensive like math that has to do with calculations and all that.
Because it has to go out to the department, so...
And it took a really long time to get it to work, and where the education people couldn't see people's social security numbers, and the election office couldn't see when people were adopted. It was a mess.
Yeah, complicated. So to answer your question, no, I think we could get something done. I keep inquiring, and I pretty much, they said, this is what they decided to roll out to the whole tribe, so live with it, pretty much, kind of. So I have, and I've tried to get it as custom as I can get it, and like I said, it's costly, because every time I want something done, they have to get somebody from the outside to come in.
Just got a real quick question. Now, I know there's a lot of work done on this membership. Now, does the BIA in Muskogee, do they have their own little membership thing they do, or you guys do?
No, we that's why we've been funded by the federal, because we do their job by issuing the CDIB cards. So they pay us to do what they used to do.
But they don't offer you the software to use for the CDIB cards? What's wrong with that? There's got to be something wrong with that.
I guess they did. Well, with the money we're paying you, you'll get whatever you want to use.
Because they can't tell us what software you use, huh?
They give us the money to get what we need to do the job.
So do we need to look at that? Your task.
Because without opening it up to other departments, then I have every department calling constantly, send me this membership, send me a membership, can you send it? I mean, social services, Head Start, every, you know, when I first got there, you know, 90% of our calls were, can you send me so-and-so's membership card? At least this way, with the program that they have, they can pull it up, they can see the membership card or membership number, and they know that they're members. They can't see their blood quantum, they can't see anything on their CDIB side, but they can at least see that. Saves us a little bit of time, because we're not up all the time printing off and faxing or emailing to every, you know. That's the one good thing about having this system, is it's cut down 50% on the calls that we used to.
Does the tax commission, are they able to?
They
on
have,
and off and tax?
Yes,
they
yes,
tax,
they
okay.
can.
Okay.
So it's, I know y'all are.
Well, I'm just curious. I know we have a ton of questions to ask you, but before we get to Mr. Patterson, is there something pending right now that you think that this committee could help you with in the near future?
There are some things in the bill that I would like changed. In the membership bill, and number one, it's on that 220 days.
Where is it?
That's on page 3. Qualification for membership, and it's about the newborns. Oh, you guys may not be that name. Qualifications for membership. It's B.
We're on the bill dated December 11th, 2015.
Yes.
Okay.
And it says, every newborn child who is verified by the membership office as being a direct descendant of an original adoptee shall automatically qualify for temporary membership and be admitted as a temporary member of the Osage Nation for a period of 240 days following the birth of the child. No temporary membership will be entered on the Osage membership roll. The membership office shall maintain an official record of all temporary members and provide that information to the Osage Nation Congress no less than every 30 days. I don't know how to do that. Because I don't know when these babies are being born, because they don't send us anything until they're ready to get the membership. So, and I kept thinking, okay, what if I get newspapers? But even if I got every state, every county newspaper, and then I'd have to pull up every parent, see, are they Osage, are they not? I just don't know how I can fulfill that.
I think the key word is who is verified by the membership office. So they don't come in and let you know that they've had a baby in that 240-day period.
It was my understanding this was put in here in case, God forbid, an infant's born and it doesn't make it. This way, they can get burial assistance. That's is what I was told, why that's in there. So, but I'm like, why do I have to come up? I don't know how to find the babies if they're not applying for anything for 240 days. I just keep looking at that thinking, I can't provide you with that.
The key words is who is verified by the membership office. So say that somebody would have a baby and something happened to it, and then they would come to you and say, I need this assistance, then you would verify, your membership office would verify it.
I have had some people that go online and they've read this, and they're like, well, my baby's 3 days old, but I want that health benefit card now, so it helps the hospital. I'm like, oh, you've got to wait for your birth certificate, get the Social Security, to get the membership card for HealthSmart. But they read this and think, it says right here that they're a member within 240 days. So that's confusing to people that really want to get online. But I explained to them, I said, really, this is for burial assistance, all that's for. I said, to get the health card, you still have to apply for membership, get the membership card, and then, you know, I'll give you HealthSmart number and you can get that.
And the other good thing you can use that for is for like ICWA services.
For what?
Like ICWA, if the baby gets DHS, ICWA, stuff like that, before they're...
Yeah.
So what would you like for that to do?
I don't know how, I just don't want to have to, every month when I send you all members, that I'm, you know, it bothers me because I'm like, I haven't sent them any newborns, because I don't know of any newborns. So I would just like the last, shall maintain an official record of all temporary members and provide that information to the Osage Nation Congress no less than every 30 days. I'd just like to have that whole thing taken out. Because I can't maintain an official record on temporary members that I don't know about. And I can't provide you that information if I don't know about it. You know? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to Clint, and I was like, Clint, how can I do this? I was like, and there's just...
What do you think, Clint?
I just don't think there's any way that she can. There's no way to have that information. And once she does have that information and it is verified, then they're a member. There's no need for a temporary membership. No need for a temporary membership role. Because Because once she verifies their direct line of descendants, she can just enroll them as a member.
Okay, so I get it, and I'm good to go on that. So, but I'm looking for some advice on you, what we would do with Osage parents who had lost an infant child, how they would be able to tap into burial assistance funds. Can you issue a membership card?
They can call and it's okay, here's the Osage parent. And I verify the Osage parent, and then if they can get me a birth certificate and the Osage parent's on there, then I say, yes, under this rule, I said that yes, you can give them burial assistance because they will be, have met that 240 days. All I have to do is verify the Osage parent, that they are Osage.
And that's a good point, yeah. I mean, and maybe that's what it's asking. You would like to know how many people that she's done that for, given a temporary membership. And maybe that's the report that you would give every time you've done that.
Well, personally, I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned about a report of that, as long as everything is a benefit to an Osage member. I could really care less if I get that number, to be quite honest.
I want to strike that part.
And that's what's bothered me, because I feel like I'm not complying with everything you all want me to do, because I can't do this. Everything else I can pretty much do, but.
So strike the sentence, the membership office shall maintain an official record.
I would like that to be, and I even talked to Congresswoman Edwards, and she was like, oh yeah, that's no problem, but it's never gotten taken out, so.
Okay.
That rolls over on the next page too, because temporary membership appears in number one and number two under that same. I'm looking at the definition
to read like a motion.
And the other I can live with, because that's fine. Because
you just don't want to have to report that to
you. I just don't want to feel like I'm supposed to be going out and trying to find out who these people are and make them a list and send it to you all.
It's responsibility of the parents to come up and enroll.
Well, I don't mind striking that, but I still think that it says where it says.
And maybe I just didn't read it like that. Maybe if I read it like that, then I'll be like, okay.
Every newborn child who is verified by the membership office. So if they don't bring you any documentation or ask for any type of verification, then you can't report it to us.
Right.
But I don't really care to have a report either of the temporary memberships.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure that if we would need to know and call your office and say, did you issue a temporary membership for 6 babies?
See, I can't issue. All I can do is give temporary membership, but
right.
I can't issue anything.
Right. Did you give temporary membership to 6 babies? You would give us that. I don't really care how personally.
Okay. Page 3, line 104 is another reference to temporary membership.
I see that there, but I think that all she was asking us is to strike that reporting portion out. She feels like she can do the rest of that.
Yeah. The rest of it's just kind of just saying it's only for 240 days, and then it's up to the parent to get the correct information in for a membership card. And like I said, the Indian Child Welfare Act.
I don't know why you wouldn't expect the parent to get that stuff in just as soon as they
usually
need it.
I mean, as soon as they get the birth certificate
right.
or the social, boom, they're sending it in.
I get
Like
some people that live away from here, say for instance California, that don't even know about it. I think that time is to give them a chance to do it. I don't know. To report or that they have a child of Osage, you know, a newborn.
I mean, there's, we don't really have a time limit. So it's just whenever the parents decide, oh, I think I'll enroll my children. But like I said, there's, they quit being temporary after 240 days, but then it's up to the parents. And there's some that, you know, maybe 17, 18 getting ready to graduate.
Yeah, and they're just not coming.
You know, oh, I better do this because, you know, of different things, so.
Okay, so just the report part, is there another issue of the that is given a problem?
Only other thing, and is the very front page in Act Article 3, Section 4, that including application, appeals, procedures, loss of membership, and adoption of members. I know what that means, but other people think that Congress can adopt members into the Osage tribe because of the way that reads. And I'm like, no, they just mean adoption of Osage. Osages have been adopted out. And I know that's what she meant when she wrote this, but the way, and I think on page 10, it's the same wording, and I'm like, no, Congress can't adopt anyone into the, you know, neither can the chief, neither can, you know, you have to be a direct living of the Senate. Mm-hmm. But that's the only other thing that, just kind of the way it's worded.
So what do you suggest we do to make that
an adoption of Osage members even, maybe?
It's constitutional language.
Is it?
So now, it says the Osage Nation's Congress shall enact laws not inconsistent with this Constitution, prescribing rules and regulations governing membership, including application and appeals procedure, loss of membership, and the adoption of members, which I think that's really broad. I don't think that that means, I think it could be looked at and viewed in two different ways, either Osage members being adopted by non-Osage families, or historically, we have adopted members into our tribe, mm-hmm. and I don't believe this membership law addresses that anywhere at all, and I think that that's something that we've had snags with really hard lately. Maybe not as much as I think, but I think that that's been a problem, and I don't think our law addresses how we handle that, and I think that we probably need to figure out what the Constitution means by that. But do you have any thoughts on that? We're so glad you're here with us.
He is too. He was excited.
I'm sure he was.
Well, with the membership requirements and the Constitution being direct lineal descendant, I read it as to say that the adoption of Osage members out to non-Osage family, that particular section. But I agree, there could be areas where we can shore up the adoption language in the membership law to further address that you have to be in direct lineal descendant and maybe directly speak to adoption at some point, but I don't know where to put it. I haven't looked at it that hard yet.
And like I said, that's another thing that has to be done right away. I just, you know, that was just something that's always kind of bothered me a little bit because I'm thinking it can be misinterpreted.
Yeah, it's pretty broad. But let's just kind of put that to the side right now because we're getting to the end of our time. I would like to hear Mr. Patton's update on this upcoming hearing on August 3rd. I plan on being there. Just to be a part of the listening and see what's going on.
Come on, it's a public hearing.
Yeah, well, now that you said that, we're on the air, and I just didn't know what.
I'm fully aware. I won't be discussing legal strategy, but I can give you information as it relates to public records that have already been filed. There is a hearing on August 3rd. Some start at 11:30 and some start at 1:30. In the beginning, we filed approximately 68 removal actions involving two different families. One of those families were approximately 36 members, and that family has requested a hearing on their removal. And 11 of those have actually requested the hearing date according to the membership law. Now that means they have a hearing, and the other approximately about 24, 25 have not requested a hearing, but they're in the same family, so we have not requested anything else through the court on them till we decide what goes on the 3rd. And the others have either defaulted by time lapse or have resigned their membership. So right now we're down to these 11 and requested a hearing, which will affect the 30, the total 36. Jumped around there and threw out a bunch of numbers, so I'm open to questions on those numbers.
68 total removal actions were sent out to members.
Filed with the court.
Filed with the court. 36 of those 68 are within the same family group, and 11 of that family group have requested a hearing, and the outcome of that hearing will have a bearing on the other 25 members of that family. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the rest of them have either relinquished their membership or are not going to be able to have a court action by default of not filing or not responding to the...
To our filing.
To your filing.
Correct.
Okay. I think I got it.
And there's no appeal to this hearing. Is there appeal to this or is it filed?
There is an appeal. It's appealable through the court process, like up to the Supreme Court, like any other court proceeding would be in the trial court.
But has this been an ongoing thing since when this situation first appeared, like the old great grandfather who it was, from what I understand?
We better watch what we say.
Yeah, I'm not using anyone's name, but I'm just saying, and it's been going on for several years.
But there's generations in this action, yes, several generations.
Well, I stopped up on saying more than I.
So, I know that you said that you've filed 60 cases with the court. Are there any more pending that your office has discovered yet?
At this time, I have been asked by the chief to do an audit that I'm not going to talk about yet. So we're trying to get files condensed into one file because it was like one person could have six different files, replacement, name change, CDIB, membership, allottee, deceased, and we're going to combine except for the adoptions and the allottees. We're leaving them stand alone. The others, we're getting all of them together and making one file, numerically with the membership number, because that's easier to file and easier to find. And I didn't realize it was such an undertaking until I realized we had 20,000. So I keep putting the audit off until I can at least get the files all combined. And then he's requested that I go back at least 7 years. So I don't know what we'll find. I'm hoping we will find nothing out of the ordinary, but I can't promise that. But right now, no, nothing on the horizon.
What's your policy on keeping paper file versus digital file right now?
We have paper files for everyone. And we've got digital files, so we have both.
What does the federal government require you to do in the keeping of CDIs?
They want paper files.
And you're liable to keep them?
And yes, we've got to keep them forever, pretty much, and then we have to put their numbers and different things that we have to put for those, which we will do on the membership, you know. But I'm trying to get everything electronically, so at our fingertips, we don't have to get up and go find the files. We have everything digitally right there, you know, when we pull up the name or the date of birth, we can pull that, look in the record, we can print documents from that record because we should have scanned everything in, and that's what my ultimate goal was.
I wonder what other governments do on their vital statistics, and, you know, surely we don't have to keep paper copies of birth certificates dating back 20 years or 30 years, so.
Try 50.
I don't understand.
1906. Yeah, that's true.
The Department of Vital Statistics has an office in Tulsa and Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know, we track them out and we look them for ancestors and stuff and additional research that we need to do. To answer your question, I don't know how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have some sort of system.
I'm sure they do too. Maybe I just think it can be digitalized.
I thought as long as it was, you know, electronically put in there, that we wouldn't have to keep paper copies, but we do. And I guess we'll just keep on. And I've got plenty of storage room in the new office building, so, you know, I can have room for lots of files.
How about staff?
Is that secure then? Are we talking
yes.
about fire and everything?
I've got half Fire Kings that I've just ordered when we moved into the new place, well, right before. Hopefully when the budget comes up, I'm going to have money to order some more. I'd like to get all completely Fire Kings, but they're in the storage rooms. I've got two, and you have to keypad to get in my storage rooms. Then you've got a keypad to get into the office. So I'm pretty secure. I feel real good about being secure and the files being, because nobody from the outside, even if they're in my office, they can't go and get in those files because we keep them locked all the time. And you have to put in your code, and it's only if you work there can you enter. So, but no, I do need more Fire Kings.
How about staff? Do you have enough staff?
No, I can always use more staff.
Oh,
but
you can do that.
Budget-wise, I just got a new one, so I'm real pleased to have gotten it because there was so much catching up to do. Catching up, and bringing that office into this century. Yes.
Yeah. We're about the end of our time, so do we have a last follow-up question on anything quickly before we adjourn? Or
I do. This is still relatively new for us over in Congress to have us sitting at this table. But when these hearings come up, what is the role of us three Congress people during the time of the hearing? Do we even show up? Do we need to be there? Is our presence necessary? Or?
It's not necessary. I mean, you can show up if you want. It's a public hearing, but no, it's a. The law requires it to go through our office, and we
do. That's legal. That's
legal. Yeah. And, you tasked us with the job, so it's on us now.
Okay.
So I don't have to be there.
Yeah, you have to be there. Well, I'll try to be there every time I can, just my own personal knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah.
Bree, I know you have more questions. And anytime you want to call me or just come over to the office, feel free, any of you. I will try to answer, but I mean, if you have some right now, that's fine. But.
No, I know. I think that I asked most of the ones that popped into my brain today. I didn't sit down and think this meeting through at all to us to hear at this time.
You guys have kind of been meeting all day, so.
I'm enjoying getting to know more about this, and some people think that Congress doesn't have quite the role we do, but I believe the Constitution we do, so. And that we're responsible for our role and for the policy that the procedure that you use to regulate it. I know that other tribes do different things with their roles and membership.
Mm-hmm.
I just want it to be easy for you guys to execute and not hard for our members to access. And I just think we need to be better integrated. The first thing we talked about was three duplicative places that we go to get IDs in the nation, which is absolutely crazy. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, it doesn't really apply to membership, but think that we should try to streamline things and make it work for the policy. That's really what I think that I'm doing here. and see if you have the laws that you need.
I have to do the diabetes.
All the help. That's all I have.
Anything?
Or no? Well, I guess we covered everything we wanted to. That will, sort of, for the first meeting. So our job is to help you. This hopefully all we can to make your job better and fair and by the Constitution, by our own state law. So I entertain a motion.
To adjourn, let's do so. Motion.
Say amen.
Amen. Amen, Steph.
Amen.
How often are we gonna do this?
Well, right now, we just did because of the initial time in this, for this session. But usually we meet during the regular sessions. But anytime you have something or...
Okay, I mean, I...
If you use legislation, you know...
We're all there. I just have a suggestion.